Loretta, thank you for joining us today. Could you start off by telling us, really, what is Laura's House?
Yes, thank you for having me today. Laura's House is a community-based nonprofit organization that empowers individuals and families to lead domestic violence-free lives. We offer a comprehensive range of services, including safe refuge for women and children escaping violent homes. We also offer legal support services, counseling, community education, and prevention workshops for teens on healthy relationships and dating violence. The inception of Laura's House was inspired by a true story about a woman called Laura from Orange County who was a victim of domestic violence. Unfortunately, the end of her particular story is a very tragic one. Her life was cut short at the untimely death at age 38. Since 1994, Laura's House has continued to grow and offer a multitude of programs and services which provide vital support and education aimed at avoiding such tragic circumstances from ever occurring again. Our mission is to change the social beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors that perpetuate domestic violence while creating a safe space in which to empower individuals and families affected by abuse.
Could you tell us about the Laura's House Legal Guardians Program?
Yes. With vital legal and financial resources, Laura's House and local law firms are committed to ending the vicious cycle of domestic violence. Through the Legal Guardians Program, Laura's House partners with local law firms to provide effective legal assistance to victims of domestic violence and their families. Laura's House works with its law firm partners to offer comprehensive training surrounding the legal issues associated with domestic violence. Because Laura's House clients need a voice in the legal system, our Legal Guardian Program not only changes the lives of the victims of domestic violence, but also changes local and global perceptions surrounding domestic violence. For the Legal Guardian Program to succeed in its mission, we need the financial support and assistance of law firms.
And how can these law firms that participate benefit from the Legal Guardians Program?
A law firm can benefit by gaining access to turnkey pro bono programs. Attorneys gain invaluable training and experience through representing our clients in court. Law firms can attract and retain a new generation of lawyers who want to give back to the community. The law firm will also be recognized as a leading advocate, making a commitment to end domestic violence in our community.
Could you really tell us what the definition of domestic violence is?
Well, as defined by the California Penal Code Section 273.5, domestic violence constitutes the following. Domestic violence establishes a pattern of behavior to exert control and power over a victim that meets the legal definition of abuse. That means intentionally or recklessly causing or attempting to cause bodily injury or sexual assault, or to place a person in reasonable apprehension of an imminent bodily injury to that person or another.
Could you help us better understand what domestic violence really is? How does it show up in society today?
Well, domestic violence is defined as a pattern of control and domination that one person uses over the other. Domestic violence takes many forms, including but not limited to emotional, physical, sexual abuse, financial, and spiritual domination.
And what are the statistics on the prevalence of domestic violence here in the United States?
A 2003 study by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, National Center for Injury Prevention and Control, entitled Cost of Intimate Partner Violence Against Women in the United States, unveiled these startling statistics. In terms of intimate partner violence, there are 5.3 million cases against women and 3.2 million cases against men per year. Each year, 1.5 million women are sexually or physically assaulted. This represents 47 assaults per 1,000 women. 800,000 men per year are physically assaulted, representing 32 assaults per 1,000 men. As a result of domestic violence, there are 2 million injuries per year and 1,300 deaths per year.
And what about locally? Can you share any statistics on how many cases of domestic violence happen here in Orange County, California?
Yes. Domestic violence-related emergency calls in Orange County increased from 12,233 in 2002 to 12,796 in 2003 and 12,923 calls in 2004. According to the California Department of Justice, among equivalent counties, Orange County has a medium level of domestic violence-related calls, yet the lowest of domestic violence arrests. Despite an estimated need for 3,722 emergency shelter beds for domestic violence victims, there exist only 362 inside the county, according to a 2006 report by the Orange County Continuum of Care.
What are the costs associated with domestic violence?
Well, in 1995, the cost of domestic violence exceeded $5.8 billion, with $4.1 billion attributed to direct health care costs and $1.8 billion attributed to lost productivity. In 2003, the cost of domestic violence exceeded $8.3 billion, broken down as follows: rape, $460 million, physical assault, $6.2 billion, stalking, $461 million, and death, $1.2 billion. Victims of severe intimate partner violence lose 8 million days of paid work annually and are more likely to have experienced unemployment, health problems, and are receiving public assistance.
And what role does Laura's House play as a legal advocate?
Well, because most of Laura's House clients are unable to retain representation, the goal of Laura's House Legal Program is to provide advocacy and representation for permanent restraining order hearings. At Laura's House, preparing for and obtaining restraining orders takes precedence over other legal assistance, as the restraining orders are enforceable by law enforcement and increase the safety of the clients. In addition to restraining orders, our clients, however, are in dire need of representation at other family law hearings within dissolution and paternity actions.
Could you tell us the mental state of the abused victim when she or he first comes to Laura's House? Do they display any specific psychological disorders?
Yes. When we first meet victims of domestic violence, they may portray one or more of the following common psychological signs of abuse. Many have post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms. This include emotional detachment, sleep disturbances, flashbacks, replaying. It's as if they've been in a war, however the war has been in their home. The victims often display depression, antisocial behavior, high levels of anxiety, suicidal behavior, low self-esteem, inability to trust others, and a great fear of intimacy.
What legal decisions must a victim make upon entering Laura's House?
Well, the legal decisions that a victim must make upon entering Laura's House vary depending on the circumstances and facts of that particular client. Take, for example, some clients may still live with an abuser, and they're in the process of safety planning. This stage entails developing an exit strategy. Some clients may have already left an abusive relationship and may even have finalized a divorce, but are still being stalked and otherwise abused. Some clients may have left simply with their shirt on their backs, and they're in need of shelter right away. All the legal decisions must really be tailored for that particular client's circumstances. However, clients may decide to pursue a restraining order, enter a shelter, file for dissolution, develop an economic survival strategy, and obtain favorable custody orders.
What is the goal of Laura's House at this first stage of interaction?
The primary goal at this first stage is simply to make life safe for that client and for their children, and to create a peaceful, long-term, and stable, violence-free future. The safety goal is first, with an eye towards long-term stability.
Tell us about the role Laura's House plays as a legal advocate for your clients.
An initial determination must be made by Laura's House as to the urgency of the individual's situation and the immediacy of any threats of violence. The legal basis for a restraining order is found in the Domestic Violence Prevention Act and Family Code Section 6300. Family Code Section 3044 provides the legal ramifications as to child custody. Now, restraining order, the heart of the restraining order is the declaration. This is where the client must tell the court about the abuse that they've suffered. Laura's House clients will be encouraged and supported in explaining the plain truth of their experiences. Clients struggle to document their experiences. However, they must do this if they want to obtain permanent restraining orders, permanent protection from the court.
What exactly is a restraining order and how does it work?
A restraining order is an injunctive order designed to protect victims of domestic violence from the person who is hurting them or attempting to hurt them. A restraining order is issued based on the evidence presented by the victim. This can be supported by medical records, police records and arrests, destruction of personal property, witness statements. The declaration by the victim must be written proficiently and effectively to both engage the judge's attention while fully explaining relevant incidences. The legal advocate, as well as the attorney, can use his or her skills to adequately document the legal basis upon which an order should be granted. The specific incidences, their approximate date, details, and the context of control and domination within that relationship. A restraining order can forbid a person from committing future acts of violence by ordering them to stay a specified distance away from the victim. Generally, that's 100 yards in family law restraining orders. The restraining order can also keep the person from entering a job, home. It can also order the person to pay specific damages, medical bills, attorney's fees, property damage. If children are involved, the court may award temporary custody and may also award financial support. Victims must document any violations of the court order with copies of police reports, records citing each time an abuser tries to contact the victim through a third party, such as a friend or relative, and by saving threatening telephone messages, emails, and continuing to take pictures of any injuries or property destruction.
What steps are needed beyond a restraining order to protect victims of domestic violence?
In addition to restraining orders, Laura's House clients need representation at other family law hearings within dissolution and paternity actions. When a victim decides to finally end a cycle of violence, it is imperative that child custody and visitation orders are finalized in a dissolution or paternity action. Otherwise, a huge part of ending the cycle of domestic violence is missing.
Are victims of domestic violence typically familiar with the steps associated with obtaining a restraining order or protecting themselves from a legal standpoint?
No, almost never. Victims of domestic violence have little to no knowledge of their legal rights. And this is not by accident. This is something intentionally propagated by the abuser. They intentionally misinform a victim about their legal rights. Victims of domestic violence are commonly without access to financial resources, and they're terrified of making their abuser angrier.
What are some of the most common reasons that victims are reluctant to pursue legal means of protection for themselves or for their family?
Well, I can say this. The decision to proceed with legal remedies is not a linear process, and it can often seem complicated and insurmountable to the victims, who, as we've discussed, have little to no knowledge regarding the legal process. Victims of domestic violence are often anxious, and they operate in crisis mode, making it difficult to make rational decisions about how to protect themselves and their family. Understanding why victims are trapped in violent relationships is about understanding the dynamics of power and control. What does this client fear most? For example, could it be deportation? Could it be losing their children? Does the victim fear being homeless the most? Whatever that individual client fears the most will be the primary and most effective weapon of that abuser, a weapon often used effectively and persuasively on that victim.
When do victims of domestic violence most often take that crucial step toward legally protecting themselves and their family members?
Often, the decision to proceed with legal action comes about after counseling, after child protective services have been involved, after criminal proceedings have been initiated, or an arrest, or simply when an abusive situation has reached an unbearable degree. Oftentimes, our women victims of domestic violence protect themselves last, and it's only when their children are being hurt that they'll take steps to protect themselves.
Can victims of domestic violence afford good legal representation usually?
No. The exception is the person who can afford good legal representation. Part of the cycle or part of the dynamics of abuse is that an abuser will have control over the family's finances, leaving the victim with little or no means of supporting themselves and their family, much less affording legal representation.
What happens if the victim is unable to afford legal representation?
When that victim is unable to afford representation, they really face an arduous task of representing themselves. Many do not prevail in their court actions because it is very difficult to represent yourself in a family law proceeding where the stakes are high and where the victim is traumatized and fearful. Oftentimes, domestic violence is so hidden that it is difficult to prove in a court of law, and we need good, experienced attorneys who can elicit the appropriate information from the victim, who can cross-examine the abuser, and who can obtain records to support that victim's assertion of domestic violence.
Does the victim need to appear in court?
At some point, the victim will need to appear in court. However, an advocate can greatly reduce the stress of the proceeding.
Describe for us, what is the courtroom atmosphere like for victims of domestic violence?
Courtroom atmosphere for most victims of domestic violence is intimidating. The clients are nervous. Even when they come well prepared, clients often lose the ability to speak for themselves. The courtrooms themselves are intimidating. For example, an abuser is present, glaring usually. Terminology is unfamiliar. And the legal advocate may not speak for that client in court, which is why Laura's House clients direly need representation by an attorney. When victims are unable to advocate for themselves, restraining orders may be denied, making the situation even more challenging and resulting in the victim becoming demoralized when denied the protection of the court. When this happens, the abuser feels vindicated, and the victim may even return to the abuser, feeling even more trapped than before.
Are there any examples of great outcomes for a victim of domestic violence following legal proceedings?
We have many examples of clients who have wonderful outcomes following legal proceedings. For example, one client who was trafficked from Romania recently came to receive services after hiding for her husband for a year and a half after leaving the home. She was afraid that if she filed for divorce, she would be immediately deported, a belief that was implanted in her by the abuser. We were able to clarify some of the issues for her, file for divorce, obtained a permanent restraining order by pro bono representation, spousal support, and instituted an immigration case under the Violence Against Women Act. She is now on her way to a much better and happier life. She probably would not have prevailed without the assistance of pro bono counsel, as she was hindered not only by a language barrier, but had difficulty discussing the abuse and was terrified by her abuser.
How would you compare the change in the mental state of the victim from initial contact through the completion of the legal process?
Well, the change can be incredible. Stress, anxiety, and codependency are a direct result of domestic violence. The victims of domestic violence come in thinking that they could never file legal proceedings, never leave an abusive situation, and believe that they will not survive on their own. They are amazed to find out how many options are available to them. Court is stressful, but the results are worth it. After court, victims often feel empowered. They begin to see their situation not through the perspective that the abuser has implanted, but through the eyes of the legal system, judges, advocates, attorneys, and society in general. This perspective tells them that they are indeed valuable human beings, worthy of respect and protection, and that the violence and abuse perpetrated onto them is unacceptable and will be prevented.
Could you recommend any books or other resources that provide information on legal advocacy and domestic violence?
Certainly. You can learn more about elder abuse by visiting www.laurashouse.org. That's LaurashouseHouse.org. Or websites such as the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. That's www.ncadv.org. Or the National Domestic Violence Hotline. And their website is www.ndvh.org.
Maeva, you've been very helpful. Just one more question. If I am a victim of domestic violence, how can I get legal help through the Laura's House Legal Guardians Program?
Well, you could log on and visit us at www.laurashouse.org, LaurashouseHouse.org, or call our 24-hour, 7-day-a-week hotline at 949-498-1511 or toll-free at 1-866-498-1511.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time today, as well as this valuable information.
Thank you very much.